Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and today we're talking JLT3 recap. And to help me do that is Statesman. Welcome to you, pal.
G'day, gentlemen. Plenty of draft movers and sliders from the JLT. I do have a gem for you today, plus some league announcements later on in the show.
Excellent. That's what we're looking forward to. And I suppose, Steve, you've been adjusting your ranks over the weekend as well.
Yeah, the new rankings. Okay, so the updated ranking should be out soon. But just want to say hello to all our new listeners. Hope you're really, you know, speaking to all the big draft fans out there. We know drafts really taken off. And, you know, stay with us throughout the year because, as we know, Jono, you do not win your league at the draft.
Unless you're the Statesman who thinks he does.
Well, and yeah. I do. I just lose the grand final.
That's what it's all about, losing grand finals.
That's what we play for. But a bit of news coming out today, actually. A couple of big ones, guys. Isaac Heaney, the poster boy for the Statesman, is being diagnosed with glandular fever. Certainly not a disease you really want, because that can knock you about for a
disease.
Is it a disease?
I'm not sure it's a disease.
Well, a fever is a bacteria? I don't know what it is, but...
We say that we're the draft doctors, but we're not medical doctors.
No. So Heaney with glandular fever is not a good thing, and that could really affect a person up to a couple of years, really. So all the best for Isaac. And I still don't know the full details of it, but certainly sliding down our draft boards and off the Statesman's bedroom wall by the look of it.
No, the poster's staying there. Breakout 2018.
In other news today, at Collingwood training, it looks like Brody Grundy has left the training track early with some sort of calf injury. We're still going to wait to see about that. But another ruckman with a big question mark, as we all thought that he and Gorn were going to be the only two.
So who will ruck for Collingwood?
Mason
Cox. Nice. Big Mace. Jared. Oh.
Wow.
Yeah. Jesse White?
He'll pinch hit.
Pinch hit.
He might be fine. We got to wait for reports.
True. We do. It's very early in the days for Grundy. Early over the weekend, we found out that Brett Deledio is probably not going to be right for round one. So, again, sliding down our draft boards if he hadn't already.
Mm-hmm.
And also, boom recruit for Collingwood, Daniel Wells. Has he even been cited yet down there?
I thought he retired in, like, 2012.
That's what I thought, but apparently he got traded to Collingwood, but won't be seeing him being playing round one with that calf injury as well. And if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that. We are at The Draft Doctors on Twitter, or you can follow The Statesman at Statesman33, or check out the website where you can find us at thedraftdoctors.com.au.
Got a nice article on tiering up there, Jono.
Yes, we had a bit of response to that, so it's all clarified over the weekend. So thanks for the input, and any questions you got, please do shoot us a message. But today we're talking JLT3, and I'm just going to run through the six games that we saw over the weekend, starting off with the Brisbane Lions defeating the Western Bulldogs on Thursday night. Fire away, Statesman.
Only one name to mention, Dane Zorko. What a remarkable effort. 200 points per 100 minutes in his scoring, 160 off 74 minutes. Quite remarkable. Draft range was around round 4 to round 5. That could be rising with his last couple of weeks. With the game style that they're looking at, it's going to be sharing a lot of footy, and he just looks on fire at the moment. Let's see, obviously, how it pumps out through JLT3, but very impressive from Zorko. Cutler was the other one I'm quite interested in. 88 points from 72 minutes. I have never been concerned with this man's scoring ability. It's just whether he's going to be solid 22. There has been a few questions during the week, a couple from our listeners, including putting up a young Freo boy, being Crozier, up against Cutler. I'm backing Cutler just because he's scoring ability, but the question is, where are the two in regards to the top 22? But Cutler, very, very impressive. Dane Beams, first hit out, 87 points out of 53 minutes. He's a mover. There's no doubts about that. Round 5 and rising, that form continue. Obviously, the club are pretty happy with where he's at. They give him the captaincy. Tommy Rockcliffe. It's maybe a concern, gentlemen. I might pose the question to you on where you think his role is going to be during the season, but his points per minutes were still pretty good on the weekend, 78 from 64. Where do you think he's going to play during the season proper?
60-40, 60% mid-40 forward, perhaps. Maybe 70-30.
Yeah, I'm not actually too concerned about him going forward because we know when he goes forward, he still scores. Like, that's not my concern. I actually had a different concern about Rocky, and that is we've talked about Brisbane and the Hawthorn assistant coaches adopting the Hawthorn model. Well, one thing Hawthorn always prided himself on was good ball use. That's not exactly Rocky's forte. Now, I'm wondering if he's going to be getting these cheap 1-2s, whether he's going to be someone they're looking to give the ball to in the middle, which it might cap his scoring a little bit more than even his role change if he gets one.
It's an interesting point, but I will say his points really come from being a tackling beast. So, yes, he gathers a fair bit of the footy, but he builds his scores in a lot of spaces.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just looking for the big, you know, the big 180 Tom Rockcliffe scores.
I think we'll still see that, but probably won't be as often as we're used to.
Well, I've slid him down from number one in my draft midfielder.
To number two? Things.
Number two.
Okay. Fair enough.
That's a big drop, though.
Yeah, and you can't go too far. The only concern I'll have is if he becomes more of a full-time forward line player. If he's got a more than 50 mix in the midfield, then I reckon he's worth his high position in the round one. And last but not least, just on Brisbane, is Stephen Martin, 54 points from 70 minutes game time. I'm still concerned about the shared ruck role and the Hawthorn philosophy.
Yeah, his super coach points weren't that great either, and it could be just Archie Smith building. Like, I slid him in my bottom 15th ruckman for super coach, so it's very hard to rank it, especially with that two ruck model. All right, moving on to the Bulldogs now, without a lot of their stars, including Bontempelli, who was slotted into play but was a late withdrawal. But one I'm going to talk about is Josh Dunkley, scored the 94 Dream Team and 109 Supercoach from 76% game time. He can certainly present you as a bit of late-round value as that mid-forward. He was playing off the half-forward line, rotating through the midfield. We know he can kick goals. He can take a tackle. I see him in that Luke Dalhouse mould from a few years ago where he will spend predominantly forward and then push up in the midfield as he built that tank. Look to get him late in your drafts as an F5 or great bench coverage for me. Another one for me was Lin Jong, 75 Dream Team, 94 Supercoach from the 73% game time. He was playing midfield. Big question on his job security. I don't know if he's going to be in that 22, but if he does play, he's hard at the ball, can kick a goal, and look at him to stream through the waivers, plug and play through the buy rounds as well. Liam Picken, hard one to pick. 62 Dream Team, 86 super coach from 86% game time. Again, a bit of a late round flyer for me. Fill a bench spot. We know he scores that 95 average in both formats. If he can play like he did in the final, Steve, that's where I want to get him. Averaging that 25 possessions, 2 or 3 goals, 2 or 3 tackles, that's where you're going to get the points, but I don't know if the game style's going to allow it for him.
The problem is his role could change at the drop of a hat, and that's something that you just can't bank on.
No, that's why I've got him down as that bench filler for your teams. The last one I'm going to talk about, and the Statesman's probably going to get excited about this guy, is English, the young ruckman. If you're playing in a keeper league, he's the one you want. Scored 54 Dream Team and 70 Super Coach from 74% game time. Bulldogs ain't got no ruckman.
can he henceforth be referred to as Timmy?
Yes, we can refer him as Timmy. But he's going to have to put some weight on because he is thinner than a string of spaghetti. But he does look good. If he can put on a bit of muscle, a bit of weight, he's going to go a long way to being the Bulldogs' long-term ruckman.
Yeah. There was actually one more player I wanted to talk about from that game. I forgot to bring it up. But Buick, Statesman, looked pretty handy, I got to say. He could be a real smoky late-round pick.
Yeah, 85 points from 77 minutes. And this is his second game where he's just looked absolutely superb, and he might be loving the coach change. And we all know that once a club changes coaches, there are some players that have been installed in the 22 that somehow seem to drop off the radar, and ones that have been on the fringe all of a sudden get their chance in the spot. And we all remember the story when Fev come running back into the group saying, the new coach loves me. And the reality is it does happen. So maybe he's going to be one of those players. And, of course, that's going to be huge value because he's waiver wire material.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And the next game we're going to talk about was Icon Park between the Blues and the Saints. The Saints running away with this game against an under-18s Carlton, you would think. Steve, fire away, mate.
Yeah, it wasn't hasn't been great watching the Carlton games. I've got to say, they did have a number of their big guns out again this week. Did notice they looked to kick the ball a lot more in the back half this week as opposed to their first match. Not sure it was a great thing. The skills were certainly down with Captain Cade Simpson. Well, he's not the captain, but Cade Simpson and Sam Doherty out.
Along with all their other stars.
Well, Reece Palmer was in. Just a bit of Reece Palmer watch, boys. Did spend a lot of time midfield. Was taking the kickings at one point.
I saw that.
You can see how the strength of Carlton's team that they rolled out there this week. But anyway, there was some good news for Carlton fans. Patrick Cripps rolled out there for a 39% time on ground. 7 touches and a few tackles. I thought he looked okay.
Just rolling the arm over.
Just getting some minutes into the legs. They're obviously going to be cautious with him. There's no great rush, but again, you know, it's interesting. I'm really not a big Cripps in Dream Team fan, but in Supercoach, look, he'll certainly be a guy to pick up. What's his draft range? I would like him as my third midfielder.
Yep,
that's where he is for me at best. Sam Kerridge, another one of these guys. Much like Matty Wright last year, they were both forward status. This year, Kerridge is only mid. But he again, has a role in this team. He was clearly their best player, I thought, for the day. 85 Dream Team, 106 Supercoach.
And he started really well last season before he got that tagging role.
Yeah, it's just going to be hard to pick him with the mid-only status. Mm. So, I mean, look, if you're in a deep league, maybe you're in a 14-team league, he might be someone to grab, but it's probably not for your 10-team, as I wouldn't have thought.
No.
A guy who's not had any press this preseason, and I'm a little bit shocked when you think about it, and I'll bring up the name, Jacob Wiedering.
Yeah.
Man, this guy is an absolute star. He's one of the best readers of the play going around. He will be a great late pick in any draft league, I think. He was out there. He got 77 Dream Team, 85 Supercoach. He is just going to be such good value, I think, because he's not getting any of the salary cap talk. He's done nothing wrong. He reads the play well. He's going to take all the marks in the world. He's generally going to use it well.
Pushes forward a little bit sometimes.
Well, maybe, but he's going to be on the park all the time. So, I mean, in keeper leagues, I'd be grabbing this guy as soon as I could. I certainly like him a lot. And one guy who didn't play, who got a bit of a boost, Matty Cruz.
Yes.
They were rolling out. His name's Matt Korchek, who I don't know about his football, but I'll tell you what, this guy looks like he'd be a bit of a stud in the bars.
Is that Horseshack's
son? No, I'm pretty sure this is a male model who's rolled out into the AFL. And Sam Rowe, both out there getting absolutely destroyed by Billy Long.
You've got one other guy who was in that ruck.
Yeah.
He took Mark of the Year.
He did. But those guys were out there getting mashed by Billy Longer. I really think Matty Cruiser is an absolute steal in the late rounds. We're seeing all these red flags on rucks. Here's someone you'll grab in the 22nd round. You'll build depth at other lines. I think he'll be good for 85 points because there is literally no one to take his spot.
No, because they're all going down with injuries. I'm going to talk about the Saints. This guy's been hyped about all year long. That's Jack Billings. I know the Saints absolutely destroyed the Blues, but this guy, 103 Dream Team, 132 Supercoach from 76% game time. I had this guy as my forward, 20th forward, Steve. That's all wrong. He is shooting right up now. I'm tempted to put him in my top 10 if he can produce scores like this. Probably won't get there.
Just swap him with Isaac Heaney.
I'm going to swap him with Brett Delidio.
So he's still playing AFL.
Allegedly. Look what happens when you have a preseason. He's fit. He's firing. He's been playing through the midfield. If he can keep that ceiling up, top 10 forward, no worries whatsoever. Next guy I'm going to talk about is Jack Steele. Absolutely tore it up. 120 dream teams, 155 super coach from 69 possessions. He was playing in the guts. He had 8 tackles, kicked 2 goals, 1. We've been hyping up Kobe Stevens throughout the JLT series. I have a suspicion that this guy, Jack Steele, may have just taken over Kobe Stevens' spot in that midfield role. His ADP was 174 when I did at the time of this, which is 18th round. If you can get him there and produce scores like this, you're laughing all the way to winning your league.
He had been unsighted, basically, with foot issues so far, so he'll jump right up.
He certainly will. So, yeah, him and Kobe Stevens playing for a spot in that midfield, and I'd say advantage Jack Steele. The next guy is Billy Longer, 78 Dream Team, 117 Super Coach, playing 86% game time. Don't get sucked in with this guy, people. As Steve mentioned, he's rucking against Korchak, Jones, and Sam Rowe. No opposition whatsoever. I still believe Hickey is going to be the number one ruckman at the Saints and be the sole ruckman. There has been a little trade tactic that Statesman has mentioned, and I've seen pop up in the last few days, and that's grabbing a bundle of rucks, and then if they do present some value, you can trade them out to strengthen another line. So if you want, have a look at him, but you can probably just grab him off the waiver wire.
Good to see I'm teaching you some lessons, Jono.
I listen. The last guy I'm going to talk about is Blake Akers. There's been a bit of talk about him.
Disappointed, John. I was really looking forward to seeing Blake Akers this year.
Yeah, he didn't do too much. Just the
what he does is so good, though.
It is. Look at their scores: 53 Dream Team, 80 Super Coach from 70% game time. That's with 100% disposal efficiency. So he does do it well. His ADP is 200. He's a mid forward. You're going to get him there, no worries, because there's a few other guys in front of him, but he's just playing off that half forward. Did push up in the mid a little bit, but I just see him as that floating around the forward line. The next game is Sydney and GWS, reviewed by the Statesman.
And I will be honest, gentlemen, I was coming home down the highway after an evening's work and actually got home, sent you guys a message, much to see there, because I heard it was very wet. You guys gave me an honest response. I started watching the replay, and let's say I've got a lot of work done on my computer because it wasn't enthralling, to say the least. But there are still lessons we can learn from wet weather, because we are a winter sport and we are a game that has to deal with those conditions. So I'll quickly go through a couple of players that did impress, especially in the weather conditions. Ward and Shaw, there's no surprise there. They've been top of the ranks for quite a while. Sheila and Kelly did really well in the midfield and scored well above points per minute. And, of course, the great man himself, Lunchmeat, impressed as well with 62 points from 70 in what was trying conditions.
Captain Lunchmeat.
Captain Lunchmeat, exactly right. And he'll be a bargain at around 9 to 11. And the way things are going at the moment, he's going to get a bit of that midfield mix playing the high half forward line. Sydney, only a couple to really impress, to be honest. And the one is Lloyd. Probably the first time we've actually seen him in the preseason. He's been dropping down the board, seeing he's got the defender status. I've been a bit surprised with that. But I think he's going to be rising now after 87 from 90 minutes. Should be around 10 and probably rising a little bit, but he should be in that third tier of defenders, and you should start seriously looking at him possibly popping up to tier two. And Callum Mills, all I can say is, wow, this guy is a star. 84 off 76 minutes. That is not going to stop.
Do you think now with Heaney's glandular fever, they're going to push Mills up in the mid more, or just leave it as it is?
I think he's going to be so important. I think attack out of half forward line is hugely important in any game style. But I think he's going to be that, and I think we talked about that rolling zone where he's actually going to be always the kick behind the play, which means he's going to be mid, he's going to be defence, and he's going to be hanging back off the forward line, because why not have him delivering to the forwards when it's tight inside 50? So, look, I think he's a huge talent. I thought he was going to be slow to build up. I think this boy's a star already. And we've seen these before, real, real quality, and you only have to look at Joel Selwood. He was an absolute fantasy star in his second year. I don't think there's any blues coming from this boy, and it's only things like glandular fever or injury that are going to hold him back.
Yeah, I'd certainly jump on that, and especially with Jared McVeigh missing for the first month now by the looks of things.
Yes.
Gone.
Gone, old man injury.
I've got him down in the, I think he's like 31 or 33 defender now for me.
Just keep sliding like Deludio and the rest.
Keep going. Yeah, wow, much like you, Deludio.
KK, Motlop.
Motlop.
Don't worry, he's going to mention.
And I think it's going to be interesting what's going to happen with the ruck role at Sydney as well. So you had Tippett, Naismith, Cameron and Sinclair all playing this game. The worst in points per minute, no surprise, was Sinclair.
And if you do like the show and like to subscribe, you can do that by checking us out on iTunes, Stitcher and SoundCloud. And if you do want to leave us a review, you can do that on iTunes and SoundCloud. Please, takes what, Steve, a couple of minutes just to do?
Couple
of
minutes, if that.
If that. So 5 stars, hit us up. We'll read it on the show. We really appreciate it. It helps us with our brand, gets us out there. So
the hashtag brand.
Hashtag brand. So please hit the subscribe button on any of those. The next game was between Collingwood and Fremantle.
So I'll start with the losers. Is that how that's working?
I guess so.
Yeah, lost with the kick after the siren. Such a Collingwood way to go things. It was a shortened game with the extreme heat.
Yes.
Over in
40 degrees.
Western Australia somewhere. But man, Jeremy Howe.
How good was he?
Whoa. Sorry. Hasn't stopped at all. Just looks so good in the air, taking all the intercept marks. 86 Dream Team, 141 Supercoach points. Literally no one else was in that back line. He was doing very good things, and he certainly should be someone's second defender.
Second defender, okay.
Yeah, I think he's in that range now. I think you're seeing with Montagna being injured, who are some of the other old boys? We just spoke about him.
McVeigh.
You know, all these guys are starting to drop. Howard's got that just massive scoring potential. Look, maybe in your dream teams he's a third, but I think he's still a late defender too.
Yeah, well, I got him in third defender in our listener league draft.
Another guy, Brody Grundy. He went full Brody Grundy, just destroying things around the ground and losing all the hitouts that he was up against. He was up against Aaron Sanderland, so...
And Hannith. Hannith or Clark?
He can be forgiven for that. But he certainly looked in good nick until apparently today. So maybe just keep your eyes peeled on that. Will Hoskin-Elliott was spending time in defence.
Interesting.
Which was interesting. So I think Josh Smith is certainly going to find his way back into that role for JLT3, provided he comes up. Because Will Hoskin-Elliott, he did some nice things, but he just doesn't do enough of them for me to be relevant in draft. Another really interesting one was Jack Crisp came off with an iced and was icing up his calves. Now, I'd keep an eye on this because Jack Crisp hasn't missed a game since he's been going to Collingwood, and I think there's a lot of these guys who can play the midfield half-forward role. I'm thinking your DeGoeys, and more specifically, I'm thinking Levi Greenwood, who is a viable option with his forward eligibility this year. So if Jack Crisp was going to miss time, I've got a little bit more interest in Levi as a bench option or maybe an F5, because previously I just was questioning his role in the team. He's a very willing worker. He led the team in tackles again. But the Pies actually, I don't think they care too much. They only had, this is the best tackling team in the competition, and they only had 30 for the match.
It was a hot day. Come on.
It was a hot day. Not Taylor Adams only had one tackle.
I was looking at the tackle count. Like, even Treloar had like two or three. Like,
yeah, there was really no interest in tackling, aside from Levi Greenwood, who knows he's playing for his spot.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, fair enough. Taylor Adams was actually pretty handy in winning the ball. 21 disposals in 69 percent of game time. He's certainly going to be the first defender for me in Dream Team. And Supercoach, well, it's hard to have him in front of Doherty and Shaw, but he's certainly in that mix. The stars for Collingwood were playing, but they just trotted around, basically. And interestingly, Jared Blair was taking centre bounces, so
interesting.
That was something a little bit different as well, I thought.
And moving on to Fremantle, at the hometown of one of my properties, should I say, that good old ratepayer down there in the Mandurah Way. Fremantle, S Hill and B Hill were just sensational. Stephen certainly got ahead of the points, 122 off 74. Brad Hill got 84 off 72. Now, a completely different team than what we saw round two of the JLT, and that's the difference of getting a game under your belt. They really worked hard and put a fair bit of pressure on and were great running options. So it's amazing how much a club can look different after getting a bit of a rev up. Nat Fyfe looked promising again, 73 from his 80 minutes. Just doing what he does best. He'll be a high top-end point scorer this year. Aaron Sandilands.
Looked good.
He did.
71 off 71. It's a little bit of worry, but I have a gem for you. Just before I mention the gem, Crozier, 20 points off 39 minutes. A little bit concerned of where he's going to fit in this year. Talked a little bit early in the preseason about a roll-up forward coming for him. The gem, Lachlan Weller. He will take the halfback role. They want the ball in his hand. He is one of the best disposals or users of the footy in the Fremantle list. He played the role for the last three rounds of home and away last year and averaged 86 performing that role. The scoring has continued during the JLT, so a breakout of 80 to 85 points is coming this year. He is currently known as a forward who will get defender status for the leagues that actually do change the roles, and that should come as early as round six. My back six for Fremantle are Spurr, Sutcliffe, Weller, Hamling, Johnson, a man who should never, ever get named again, Slant, whoever else is going to be the third tall.
This guy has no idea.
Which therefore leaves Gibbo, Sheridan and Crozier. Where are they in that mix? Obviously, one of those needs to be rotating through from defence, so it will be one of them. But it actually puts a bit of a concern on where their spots are in the 22. I can't imagine Sheridan or Ibo going through the midfield rotations or look through and actually could put a list of eight names before I got to them. Crozier's an interesting one because I think he had a reasonable year last year and I think he averaged 75 in AFL fantasy scoring. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. I still think that forward line option is actually going to be for them, but what happens when the injuries come back? So a Harley Bunnell, where does Crozier fit into that mix? So the gem, Lachlan Weller, lock that one in. The club want him there. The club have seen it. It's worked, and he's become a good scorer. Great user, and now got 30 games under his belt. He is ready to go, and of course a magnificent Tassie boy as well. So we've got to back him in just for that.
I'm lost for words after the besmirchment of kebab shops Johnson's good name.
I was going to say, what about your old mate Lockie Neal? How'd he perform?
No, my third tall, the man that was not to be mentioned, was Zach Dawson.
Yes, Dawson. You said Johnson.
No, Johnson's actually going to be part of the six, but the third man not to be talked about is Zach Dawson. Now you've made me talk about him twice.
Psych.
He should never be talked about when we're talking point scoring.
Get on the
kebabs. Wait, he actually scores points, Zach Dawson?
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm going to be talking about Adelaide and Geelong now, starting off with the Crows. Going to mix it up and talk about the winners first, Steve. Your boy, Matty Crouch, pretty much the only recognisable midfielder in that team out there on the weekend. 94 Dream Team, 111 Supercoach, played 91% of the time in the guts without Sloan, without his brother Matt. I don't think we'll ever see Matt again.
Brad.
I said Matt Crouch.
You won't see Brad again.
Yeah, his brother. What did I say?
Matt.
Oh, man, I'm getting shocked at this.
It's the heat. It's gut feel.
Gut feel, people. Look, he's playing in the guts. He's going to be there all year long, alongside Sloan, you would think. He's going to have a big year. His ADP at the moment is 90. You're going to have to go way earlier than that. We've been seeing him going around 5 and 6 at the moment. So get on board, Matty Crouch. He's going to tear it up this year. Another bloke I'm going to talk about is Rory Atkins. If you check out our article on the Adelaide Crows on the website, both Matty Crouch and Rory Atkins were spoken about. Scored 80 Dream Team, 110 Supercoach from 90% game time. He was playing on the wing and pushing up forward. Kicked 3 goals, Steve, and picking up 20 disposals. He seems to be one of the guys that the Crows are looking to get the ball inside forward 50. That's all equates to points in my book, so get on board with Rory Atkins. His ADP is 270, which suggests he is pretty much undraftable if you're playing in a 10-team league in the 5-7-1-5 format. But get on board, Rory Atkins, because I know I will be. A bit of sleeper value for you guys. Andy Otten, back from the dead.
No.
71 Dream Team, 80 Supercoach, 98%. Like I said, sleeper value. Hasn't played in forever. 17 possessions, 5 marks. He's one to watch to fill a bench spot or waiver pickup. The only concern for him if he plays that lockdown job role, which will completely destroy his scoring.
Yeah, if you're sleeping on him, yeah, it's a salary cap pick. If you're sleeping on him, that's going to turn into a nightmare really quickly, Jono.
You're going to get him from nothing. Absolutely nothing.
So his value will stay at nothing. Anyway, go.
Yeah. I can get Zach Dawson for nothing too.
Boom.
But Andy Otten's worth more.
No, you can't polish a turd. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm going to get me vomit bag for this one because Statesman's going to love it. It's Brody Smith.
Played well.
He played well. 65 Dream Team, 81 Supercoach from 78% game time. I do call him Brody the Butcher, though, because his disposal efficiency is still terrible. As soon as he gets that ball, he just puts it on the boot, kicks it about 50 metres to no one. His turnovers are a problem. As I say, kicking into space. His ADP is 145. Looking at the 15th, 16th round for me.
It's got upside at that range.
There is upside. So you're looking at, what's that, D4, D5 for him. So there is upside to Brody the Butcher. And the last one I just want to touch on quickly, Sauce Jacobs. Didn't look good. I've played the 52% game time for 48 Dream Team, 86 Supercoach. But
that's a good score.
It's a good score, but it just looked like he wasn't moving properly. He wasn't jumping. He wasn't taking the throw-ins or anything like that. That went to O'Brien, so just one to watch. I don't know, Steve, you called it a couple of weeks ago that he might be carrying something, his back or something. It's just hard one to pin down with what's happening with the
Well, I mean, it's hard to imagine that they would play him if he was really in something that could heal up over a few weeks.
Well, the other thing is he's a redhead playing in summer. I don't know.
That's an odd statement, but we'll go with it.
Well,
I don't know.
You
I
know how redheads work in summer.
I probably won't end up with a great deal of Sam Jacobs shares unless he slips dramatically, but yeah. I think people can safely draft him as that fifth ruckman.
Yeah.
Or fourth ruckman, maybe, because Steph's, I don't know, gone down the toilet.
And Grundy.
Coach Fagan.
Grundy. We don't know about Grundy as well. But moving on to the Cats now. Spoke about him last time. Going to speak about him again. That's Zach Tui. Tearing it up again, 97 Dream Team, 127 Supercoach, 93% game time. Believe the hype, people, because Zach Tui has arrived. Again, the Cats, the players were looking to get the ball in his hands. He's got that thumping kick outside of rebounding 50. Steve, stop smirking.
I have three words, Jardine Lloyd Thompson.
What does that
JLT.
Mean?
JLT.
But he is looking to secure a spot, so why not just go balls to the wall and do it? 27 disposals, 7 marks, kicked a goal. Everyone's talking about him now. His ADP is 161. I don't think you're going to get him there in the 17th round, so he's probably going to shoot up to that 10th, to 12th round now, I think. Next one I'm going to talk about is Sam Menegola, 82 Dream Team, 80 Supercoach, 81% game time, playing in the guts for most of the game as Danger and Selwood both played a half each. It looks like he's pushed Mitch Duncan to the wing, which is, hey, it's not a bad thing, but, and we like Sam Menegola. We know he's got that great ceiling. We've seen it before last year. He makes the tackles. He takes marks. Look, round 15 and beyond, good spot to take him because he could do anything. Jackson Thurlow, 61 Dream Team, 84 Supercoach, 74% game time. Coming back off that injury, playing off the halfback, he looks like he's settled in really nicely in the back line. Interesting one, though, with Cam Guthrie out of that team, I just want to see how that dynamic works when he does come back in. Is Thurlow going to get pushed up in the mid? Is Guthrie going to get pushed up in the mid? I don't know. Just going to wait till he comes back in. ADP of 207. So 21st round. Put him on a bench spot. See how he goes. No worries for me. Or pick him off the waiver wire. Caprichosa. Shake your head, Steve. You ain't getting that, Palmer. He was...
Go Captain Lunch, mate.
52 Dream Team, 44 Supercoach from 77% game time.
I will be drafting him because this is what I want. I want my players to drop. I want them to drop in value in the preseason because it doesn't mean anything. We've got a question from a listener talking who's this year's Harry O. It could be Zach Tui.
Zach Tui or Caprichosa?
Zach Tui. No, I'm saying Zach Tui's value is so inflated at the moment because of JLT scores. He can only really either be an amazing, the greatest pickup of all time, or totally screw you.
I don't think he's going to screw you. I think there might be a happy medium.
But what I'm saying is Stevie Motlop is sliding. Going down like Hans Gruber off the Nakatomi Towers. And that's great for me in my draft.
Playing deep forward. Ugh. Just horrible. Minimal time in the midfield. Cockatoo was taking centre bounces ahead of Motlop.
So? This gotta give the young kid reps.
This is Steve Motlop, who came back looking like an Oompa Loompa last year, did all the right things this year by becoming an Iron Man.
That's fine. I'll just take the draft value, buddy.
Yeah, look, his ADP is 97, so around 10, 11 there.
That's great.
I could see him sliding even further.
Awesome.
And moving on to the last game is Steve talking about Port and Richmond.
Well, this was an absolute barn burner, wasn't it? Look, it was exceptionally windy conditions across the field, so the skills were a little bit down, as you would expect. And I just want to touch on Port first. And the question I'm struggling with Port is, what are they? What do they stand for? I've sort of got no idea about Port Adelaide at the moment. Like, when they had their historic one season in the sun, they were just speed. It was just speed, 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 speed. And now they've drafted in these bigger bodies. They don't have that same run. I just question what they're doing. Like, it's really strange to me. But anyway, maybe you guys...
It seemed like the Richmond of a couple of years ago, where Richmond were the pacier team on the weekend, but they were just confused, Port Adelaide. I just couldn't see a structure there, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I'll actually wait to JLT 3-4. That's just when you see the clubs actually playing the way they want to play. They're testing a lot of things now. They're testing a lot of players. It's like if we base our theory on how Fremantle are going to go against the game versus West Coast Eagles instead of Collingwood. I think we need to give them the time. And you can probably have concerns about players, less likely about how the club is playing. But if they do it for 4 weeks, then there's a concern. But we've got to remember we've seen Carlton and St Kilda go and win the pre-season cup and then be wooden spooners. So we shouldn't worry too much about the club's form, although I understand because I was probably thinking the same thing until I was checking myself watching the game.
Hmm. Yeah, it's just an interesting thought. Anyway, some players. Ollie Wines continues to impress. Guys, 24 disposals, 13 contested possessions, 7 clearances, in only 65% time on ground. We've certainly spoken about him a lot. We all like him. Statesman, he was your fantasy MV, or best and fairest. So you're obviously a big fan. Another player in his mould, the first year player, Sam Powell Pepper. He looks like he'll play. He's certainly a great option for your salary cappers. And he did nothing to dispel thoughts that he won't debut in round one. He had the 13 disposals, 8 tackles, Jono. Love those 8
Love
tackles.
Love it.
In 67% time on ground. I just wonder about, you know, we're sort of loving Ollie Wines from because he was going to get more time, but maybe Sam Powell Pepper and their other big body debut player, Joe Attlee, might keep his time on ground down a little bit. That's lovely. Obviously, Stace was not a big fan of that prediction. But anyway, Sam Powell Pepper, certainly one for your keeper leagues. Jasper Pittard was the big story with what looked like a genuine 4-week hamstring.
Yep.
So it looks like he'll miss rounds 1 and 2.
Yep.
So the players to get a little bit of a boost is probably either going to be either Darcy Byrne-Jones or Riley Bonner.
No Broadbent.
Why would it be Matty Broadbent?
I don't know. I'm staring you.
I thought I might pick the players who might actually take the spot. But we saw Darcy Byrne-Jones actually came in and played pretty well last year as that sort of slashing defender. There's obviously some raps on Bonner as well, who came in at the very end of the year and did some nice things. Bonner was arguably the better of the two yesterday from a fantasy perspective, but I'll certainly be interested in watching these two gentlemen in their third match. Yes. To see who looks to be the more attacking. Westhoff.
Did he play?
Yep, continued out on the wing with a bit of forward time. 57 Dream Team, 87 Supercoach in 80% time on ground. I certainly think he's got some great value. You'll be able to draft him as a F3, and he should return value on that. Maybe not ridiculous value, but we've certainly seen him average around the 90 Dream Team and just above in Supercoach. Hamish Hartlett. I am terrified about Hamish Hartlett. He is playing in defence. The whole point of him being a defender was that he was going to get midfield time, but with these rookies coming through, I don't know, maybe that's just smoke and mirrors in the JLT, as Statesman was alluding to, and he'll go back into the midfield, but I am terrified about Hamish Hartlett.
Me too.
And what role he is playing. He is dropping down my draft boards a little bit. Paddy Ryder looked better.
Yep.
Extra game under his belt, better scores. Most of his points came from hitouts, which not great, but he did score 48 Dream Team, 66 Supercoach from 63% time on ground. And I certainly think he's been someone I've been very interested in all along, and he's certainly starting to get his touch back. On to the winners, Richmond. They look pretty good again. So I think they're still missing Hooley's ball use and run off half back. And the guy who was sort of getting a lot of the marks and kicks through the switch was David Asprey, who played 100% time on ground in the first JLT and was right up there again. He did come off for a little bit because he got a knock this week. But he was, look, I'm not saying he's someone I'd... If Hooley's going to miss time, he might be a beneficiary because it certainly wasn't Markov. But that's just how that went. But the big story, Toby Nankervis.
Woohoo!
Salary cap is going berserk for this guy. He's got ruck forward eligibility. And so he was really impressive in going up against Matt Lobian and underdone Patrick Ryder. But it was the things he did around the ground that were really good. He has a presence. He takes intercept marks. He can lay tackles. 94 Dream Team and 129 Supercoach and only 79% time on ground. He is certainly either going to be a great value at the back end of your draft as a ruck or as a forward. So if you've gone early on a ruck, you might snag him. He's certainly going to be cheaper than a Paddy Ryder. So that's something to think about. Dustin Martin looked fantastic, and he was mostly midfield guys. There were sort of concerns about him playing forward, but he was mostly running through the midfield and looked pretty good. 62 Dream Team, 87% and 55% time on ground. I'd certainly draft him as a midfield at 2 in Dream Team. Probably prefer him as a mid 3 in Supercoach, but that's just how that was. Josh Caddy was sort of more forward than midfield, but he did play both areas. It looked good. Really good. I thought he was pretty impressive. He hit some targets in tough conditions, so he certainly impressed it. And he's someone who's, you know, with the Delidio and Who's the other boy injured forward? Someone else was injured. Anyway, with their injuries, he's
Griffiths
sort of moving
down, I think.
Moving up in the ranks. Brandon Ellis found a ton of pill, as Brandon Ellis can do. He's going to be a later pick than he has been in years. So, look, he found a lot of ball with the inside midfielders being improved for the Tigers. He might be a good late pickup. The Koch, man. This guy was good.
He was.
And the hair was even better.
On the windy day, just running into the wind.
Did not move at all. The sun was shining off it.
Like an 80s cop drama.
So he certainly looked a class above. And that's why he gets the tag. Scored very well in limited game time. Nick Vlosten, again, more forward time. I don't buy the midfield hype. I'm not interested in it all. And Sam Lloyd played pretty well with 3 snags in limited time on ground. I think he's a match-up play only, though.
Yeah, no, Sam Lloyd was quite good. Liked all that. Josh Caddy, yeah, really impressive. Did some nice things around the ground. Yeah, we had those concerns for Dusty as well, but I think he's going to be fine.
No, I think you covered that pretty well, gentlemen, to be quite honest with you, and I probably agree with the ruck strategy. I've done it a couple of ways. I've brought Grundy in with one of the drafts and gone the long outsiders, being Nankervis and Witts in my other drafts, and that's paying off to be the right way to go.
Yeah, you certainly build a lot bit of depth, I think, going the late ruck strategy.
Mm. And Richmond seem to be better with all their boom new recruits. All right, moving on to the mailbag now, and it is a sack filled with questions today.
It's a sack.
It's a sack. Filled with questions. We're going to run through them now. Phil off Twitter says, Keeper League, Cutler or Crozier? I believe a statesman answered that earlier on and says, Cutler, no problems whatsoever.
Yes, I'd agree.
So do I.
And you know he's going to keep that defender status.
Yes.
What the hell Crozier's going to have?
Who knows with Crozier Ross Lyon?
Hopefully not glandular fever.
No. Just don't put a naked chokehold on Ross Lyon because he will beat you.
Apparently.
Dean from Twitter asks, better for a keeper, better pick up for a keeper league, Higgins, Petrarca or Elliott? Well, I, for one, I'm going to say Petrarca every day of the week. What about you, gentlemen?
Yes.
Yes. Three yeses.
I would say Petrarca 14 times each day, every day. It's quite simple. Yes, they've all had their injury concerns. Petrarca is the true out-and-out star.
Yes. Harry from Twitter asked, pick 9 in my 14-man draft. He wants JPK, but he doesn't think he's going to fall to him. Decision becomes between Bontempelli or Treloar. Finding hard to split. Please help.
I actually think it's quite easy. If it's super coach format, you go Bont. If it's AFL fantasy format, you go Treloar.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think you could still go Treloar in super coach, but that's probably a fair point.
Man, if Treloar's getting to me at pick 9, happy days.
Yes.
Aaron on Facebook asks, he has pick 1 in his Supercoach League. Is anyone other than Dangerfield a viable option?
Yes, Max Gawn is absolutely a viable option.
And I would say throw in Fife in the mix, but then again, this is why I'm not in the top 1,000 Supercoach.
Yeah, I think if you got to look at it, Max Gawn's going to be, looks like being so far and above the other rucks. Mm-hmm. He's a genuine captain option as well. That's always something to consider.
Good call.
Yeah.
Yep. Jackson off Facebook also asked, optimal size and team structure for a keeper league.
Yes, I'm a big fan of the 30 with 15 keepers, but it's fair to say not many follow my lead. So probably the optimum level is the 27 players with 12 keepers. I like working on the theory that you keep half your list and therefore it expands what you're actually looking for, not just the out-and-out stars, but actually people that are looking to break out. But I would say the optimum, so the, what would be on average is probably where it's at, is 27 and 12.
Very cool. Now, we're going to have to do some better vetting on these questions here. Mrs. Fizz asks off Twitter, round sprinkles or long ones? Asking for Baby Fizz, because I'm guessing it's Baby Fizz's first birthday coming up.
It is Baby Fizz's first birthday on Saturday. And, Jono, it is round sprinkles. Any other sprinkles, and they're called hundreds and thousands, by the way. They're not goddamn sprinkles. and anything other than round sprinkles are an abomination.
I disagree. It's long sprinkles all the way.
This podcast is over. Our friendship is over.
We are deleting all social media.
Friends.
How can you go around? They just crunch and they get stuck between your teeth. It's no good. Nah,
give that's us what all. It's all about.
The long ones, are just, you know, all that sugar just melts in your mouth.
They're an abomination. If I see them at the party,
just stay away.
It's over.
I think we need a deciding factor on this one.
Well, just a little bit of a fact, and it's got nothing to do that the question was here, but I just know this because there was a little discussion in the office a few months ago. But hundreds and thousands are actually an Australian invention, and that, of course, is the round sprinkles. And it was first reported in the Mercury in Tasmania in the 1930s. So there you go. There's a bit of trivia for you. So round sprinkles.
So long sprinkles are just un-Australian.
So 1930s, that's about the same time as the Tasmanian tiger dying out.
Yeah, what is going on? Have you seen a tiger? You probably don't know this. I'm a big tiger enthusiast.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That's the only reason Steve goes to Tasmania.
That's the only reason I go.
He's looking for tigers.
Looking for the tiger. They haven't popped up at the Cascade Brewery, aside from that stuffed one they have in the lobby.
Oh, yeah.
I was pretty happy with that, too.
And Steve tried to steal that one, too.
Right. They're on each one of our stubbies, by the way. So you can see them quite regularly.
We get them here. Not the good ones, but, yeah, the other ones.
Jeremy from Twitter asks, if you have two picks on the turn and all picks before you have gone as you have them ordered, what would you do?
Well, I'd go to my tiering structure, and I would take the best players, or the highest-ranked players from the shortest tier. So if there was two forwards left and there was one defender, I'd take the defender and then the forward. It's, if you read the tiering article on the website, hopefully it makes sense to you, and you can sort of look that. There's certainly no hard and fast rule, but that's the way you get the best
value.
You get more good players in your team. Yeah. And that's what it's all about, getting more good players in your team.
Yep. Oh, good answer. John from Twitter asks, how do you make a mean spaghetti bolognese? I do not cook spaghetti bolognese.
Hasn't got salad in it. I have no idea.
Well, boys, I actually made spaghetti bolognese the other night, and I have my spaghetti bolognese recipe down pat. So I can give that.
Far away.
Well, it starts with you chop your onion, get that in the pan with some garlic, and get your meat in there, and then throw in some mushrooms and your spaghetti sauce or canned tomatoes or whatever the hell you want to put in there.
Tomato or something like that.
But trust me, people, the secret ingredient is paprika. And you might say, how much? All of it. All of it. I have a backup paprika container at home because it is the goat spice. It makes everything better. It's like my draft team. A lot of smokies.
Very nice.
That nice flavour.
Yeah, I make a chili chorizo pasta, so not so much the bolognese, but give that out next week.
Paprika. Goat spice.
It's not too bad. Laszlo from Twitter asked, I'm a relatively experienced drafter. However, this is one thing I've always struggled, and I'm keen to hear your thoughts. How do you deal with ranking and drafting a player who you rate significantly higher than their perceived or real market value?
Yes. Look, he gives an example that says if you think Joe Watson's going to average 115 this year, you know, you obviously want to make sure you get him in the team. But, you know, obviously the later you draft him, you get him at a better value.
Yep.
So how do you balance that?
I think that's the greatest challenge of every draft you actually do. And if you rate them that highly, it just gets to a point where you say, now, can I accept that they're not going to be in my team or not? And that's when you've got to draft them.
Yeah, that's the thing. We've spoken about it before. If you want a player that you've rated highly, just grab him. Like, I'm all about Tom Lynch this year. I may have grabbed him a round or two earlier in our Listener League draft, and I'm probably going to grab him in our League of Records draft coming up next weekend, which we'll talk about later on. But I'm going to probably grab him a bit earlier because I want him in my team.
I'll say this. Sorry, buddy.
No, I was just going to say, if you're brave and strong enough to be able to turn around to someone else that picks before you've picked them up and say, great pick, then take the punt and find out how late you can take them. And it's the old challenge. And I probably go early on the ones I'm really hyped on, like an Ollie Wines. I'll pick him on a round 4 pick when he could slip through to round six, but I'm not taking that chance because I believe with the ground on time that he's going to get that peak.
Yeah, look, I'll say this. This is picking the players who break out from just the average midfielder to be one of the top 10 midfielders or for any position, mind you. That's where you win your league. It's not because I pick Dangerfield over Gorn or whatever, things like that. It's those mid-round guys who break out. Now, when I look at anything in terms of drafting a player, I look at range of outcomes. Now, you might say Joe Watson's going to average... You think Joe Watson can average 115. But if you played the season 100 times, how often would that happen? Well, a handful. Okay. So, but let's say, how many times is he going to average 105? Well, obviously, it has to be greater than the 115. So I'd try to put him into a range or a tier with other players who I feel comfortable with. Now, if you thought Joe Watson was going to have that 115 year, you might put him into the range with players who are of the 106 ilk, a la your Matt Prittis, someone who you know basically what he's going to do. And you just take him at the last of that tier.
Yep.
You know, okay, Prittis goes before him. And you'll probably take him three rounds earlier than he should go, but you'll lock him up and you'll get him at a fairer value than what you think he's going to go at. And that sort of ensures you're going to get in.
Being realistic of what the targets can actually be is hugely important too. And I don't think Joe Watson has ever averaged 115 in AFL fantasy as well. And I just traded him in. It was only last week. And my plan was I'm thinking he's scoring between 95 and 100. So that's been pretty realistic. If he goes over the top of that, it's a great bonus. But it's probably unlikely he's going to go too much below that. So I'm picking him at what I perceive the right range.
Oh, Job was just the example player. It could have been,
could have been anyone.
But I would say seriously consider, like Statesman just alluded to, with what's his range of outcomes? So
that's what you've got to identify with any player you're looking at drafting.
And also, know your league. I mean, there could be three other Essendon people in your league who are all over Joe Watson. So
true.
That's another part. And also, where are you drafting? If you're drafting in the middle, you probably have to take him a little bit earlier. If you're on one of the ends, well, you got 20 picks before you come back to negotiate.
That's so true.
Something to think about.
Our last question for the day is Ryan off the email. Hey, guys, just wondering your thoughts about an existing keeper league. Who would you rank as a long and short-term prospect for the young draftees? Can you include Marchbank in there as well? Thanks, guys. Loving the show.
Yeah, I think at the moment, especially if we're talking salary cap, it's very hard to see which rookies are going to do well. So obviously, that's how we compare it, how it's going to look in a draft model. So Sam Powell-Pepper is probably the only one that's standing out saying, yes, I'm ready and I'm going to play a lot of games of football. Not going to take any time off Ollie Wines, of course, but he will get his own game time. When it talks the longer terms, we actually start talking about the very talented players that probably aren't going to play more than 15 games this year. And I'll quickly rank them, but it's a little bit hard until we see a bit more exposed form. And this takes a little bit of time. But I've got McGrath, McCluggage, English, Taranto, Bowles, Ainsworth, Florentine and Brody as all my longer-term options. To me, Marchbank doesn't actually sit in there. I think he's going to be a very solid player. And if I think he's going to be fantasy relevant, at the moment I think that's going to develop in Supercoach. If you want a Carlton back that is going to be a big scorer, then it's Wietering.
We've got one last question here. It's come in just as we're about to wrap up the show. It's from our old mate, Spud Scollops.
Would you really call him a mate?
I said old mate.
Yeah.
One of the early people to get on board and review the show back when we first started. And he asked, may I ask you all to predict your 2017 Harry Ove for the year, which he means is your failed preseason bolter. So who will be drafted way too early. Cheers.
Well, Zach Tui's putting his hand up, I'll put it that way.
I seriously need a bit of time to think about that one. I've got a review because I think there's been quite a few that seem to pop up and I go, God, that's a surprise there early in the draft. So I'll actually have to review. But if you don't mind, I'll take it on notice and might release that one on Twitter in my view after the podcast is out.
Yeah, I'm on the same boat as the States. Devin Smith. There you go.
He's not a preseason bolter. How about Sherrod Wellingham?
Curtly Hampton is another one.
No. Stay off him. He's good.
He's mine. Leave him alone. I have to have a think about it as well, just off the bat. But there's a couple there right there. Yep, that'll be it for me for now. And I'll answer that one on Twitter as well, if they follow me. I doubt it.
I do have one more announcement, Jenham, just Ooh. Before we close off. It's we are going to have a Keeper League as well as an AFL Fantasy League. The Keeper League will be drafted on Sunday, the 19th of March. It'll be a 10-team Keeper League, and we'll go that optimum list of 27 and 12. Obviously, when we're talking Keeper League, we only want those coming in that are prepared to do the right thing by a Keeper League and be involved with the draft doctors at Keeper League for a long period of time. We may be able to move lists to other people, but obviously we want to try and do a group that is going to stay committed, obviously listening to the pods. That information will be released on the website, on the Facebook page, and on Twitter. It will be first in, best dressed. The AFL Fantasy Draft will be just the one season. Longer term, hopefully we can have keepers on there as well. If the first one goes really well, we'll look at having a second draft. So that announcement will be coming all out before the end of this week.
Jeez, I wonder if I can play in this one.
You can have my spot,
best dressed.
Oh, there you go, people. Draft leagues and a one-year league coming up, so get in. And you can do that by checking us out at The Draft Doctors on Twitter or at Statesman33. Shoot us a message on Facebook where you search The Draft Doctors, or hit up the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. Please do subscribe to iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, and drop us a review, and we'll see you next week for JLT4.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.